You are listening to a Central Life Christian Church presentation. For more information, visit centrallife.com.au.
Good? Yep. How good? Really good? Or just good? Hey, pumped? Awesome. Well, I know that things just aren't done in the flesh, and it's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by my spirit. And we can't do anything without his spirit. We can't do anything of the flesh. Well, we can, but it's just not going to work. I loved the Kapowskis this morning and their great worship leading this morning in the spirit. Yeah, give them a hand. I call them the Kapowskis. Kapowskis. Oh, wow. You guys are really slow this morning. You got it? We're just going to take our time this morning. And Tom, what a great communion message. I love, give him a hand too. I just love how that we have such diversity here. And I only preach every now and then here, and I'm diverse. I'm different than Steve, praise God. And I'm different than Keith. Keith lets it all hang out. Steve sort of like is the, you know, the stable one. and I'm the random one that comes every now and then and brings a word. And this week I've just been doing some painting. And I don't mind painting. I love plastering and painting and sort of covering up the work that I do, and that didn't sound too good, did it? Let me correct that. It's if you build a good foundation, whatever you cover it up with, it's going to look pretty good. You know, isn't that right, ladies? You know, you put your foundation on and you put all the other stuff on. Anyway, let's not look. You guys have got me way sidetracked already. Man, I can't even get going here. I'm starting, yeah, I might sit down and come back up. But I was looking for some, I've got lots of paint in the shed, and I was looking for some paint, just some random paint to put on some eaves, and I didn't ask the client what colour. I said, this is the colour you're going to get. And It rebirthed something in me about stirring things up, because in 2 Timothy 1:6 it says to stir yourself up in God. And it's not God stirring you up, it's you stirring yourself up in God. And I want to talk a little bit about stirring up. I want to talk about being competent ministers of the gospel. What does that mean? There's a number of things. There's a random message. It could go any which way here, so I've got all sorts of things we could go any which way. But I'm wondering if VB could come. He doesn't know anything about this already. And I just picked up a paint tin out of the shed this morning. If you could hold that. And here's just a random paint tin. I'm not saying see yourself as a paint tin. Well, yes, I am in some sense. But this was a paint tin I found on the bottom shelf, tucked right whack, you know, the people that sit in the back row type paint. You know I'm only joking, eh? You can come and hit me later. But so this tin hasn't been touched for a long time. I haven't opened it. Do you want to open it together? And the question I love to ask, and I've asked this other times, what colour are you? Green. What?
Green.
Green, yeah, green. Look, we're off track already. In my family, I've got green, got greens. In my family, I've got white, my cousins are whites. I've got some browns. I've got some blues. But what the question this morning is, as you stir yourself up in the spirit, Oh, wow, look how bad that is. And I look in there, I haven't seen in there. I can't tell what colour that is. It's not until I stir it up, which I won't do it with that. Can you hold a piece of paper up that way? Yeah, and over the chair, just in. Look, he's already drunk in the spirit. There you go. That's what colour it is on top at the moment, in here. But if I stir it up, and only a little bit, I won't drop it on the floor. Not like Steve. That's its true colour. That's that tin of paint's true colour. And God's saying that we need to stir ourselves up. Otherwise, we'll be the first colour, lackluster, versus your true colour. What is your true colour? Thanks, VB. What is your true colour in God? What are your gifts? What are your abilities? I'm here to stir it up today. I'm a catalyst. I'm random. I'll come and I'll stir you up. I've got into trouble for it. I got into trouble for it at school. And I get into lots of trouble at school, Dave. I was one of those students that stirred things up. But when you stir things up, you get a result. It's either good or bad. But when you stir things up in God, something happens. Your true colour starts to come out. And Jesus did this at the pool of Bethesda when he came into Jerusalem. And he saw, and there was this pool of Bethesda. Who knows the story? There's the five columns. The angel would come from time to time, they say about once a year. And the angel would stir the water up. And whoever got in there first would be healed. Isn't that amazing? That's even just without Jesus or God or anything, you know. Like, I don't know, just an angel. But more than just an angel. It's still God working. But interestingly, Jesus comes and sees a man that's 38 years, who knows, that's a long time, an invalid. And I'm not a very good speller, and I always read that as an invalid. Why? They spelt this word wrong. It's invalid. It's an invalid. Anyway, invalid, same spelling, work English out. I can't work English out. But Jesus comes and stirs faith in this man and asks him, "What do you want?" And the man says, "I want to be healed." And then virtually Jesus says straight away, he says, "Well, pick up your mat and walk." And sometimes Jesus will say things to us like that and our response could be, "Well, I don't know how to walk. I haven't walked for 38 years, so how the heck am I going to walk? What are you talking about, Jesus?" It's like, I don't know whether you've been in that place before. Like, it's sort of like, well, how am I? And you're all in your thinking. It's all in your thinking. And God's saying that we need to move away from our thinking and get into his spirit. And I want to talk this morning about being ministers of the spirit, but competent ministers. And ministers of what? So Jesus stirs a response of faith up in this man. And sometimes, like, you'll have people come along like me and stir you up into faith, into a response. Sometimes you need somebody with a catalyst. Like, you know what a catalyst is? It's the tiny little thing that reacts with the body mass in science and stuff, where you put the tiny little bit of thing in and you get an explosion. You get all of a sudden it all starts to come together. All of a sudden the true colour starts to come out of you. And I'm preaching to myself this morning because I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to get up here again. But like inside of myself, I'm stirring myself up in the spirit. So I get affected and you get affected. Is that okay? So Jesus moved and stirred a response in this man for 38 years and got him out of his thinking and into faith. Miracles are not by thinking, but by drinking. Miracles are not by thinking, but by drinking. Being in his presence, being in faith, stirring yourself up. I love the worship this morning. It was great. It was simple. It was great that Keith and Di were away. Because it's like all of a sudden we see a stirring in someone else. You know, like when somebody new comes out and says something, there's a stirring. You're like, well, that's a different voice. I love it when Tom gets up because, yes, I can understand you, okay, no. But sometimes people can't understand another accent, but we can understand you, but it's another voice saying something. The bread of life. Awesome. I just love that little communion snippet that you did. So Jesus causes a response, a stirring up in the spirit. And I still come back to the question, what color are you? We should be able to confidently say, I'm blue. Because I've found out who I am in Christ. I know who I am. I've stirred myself up enough. I know what my gifts and abilities are. I know how to serve God, where to serve God, where he wants me. I'm in his will. And it's a challenge to myself because I often sit back. So please don't see it as though I've made it. I haven't. Not by any means. I'm only half pace right now. Hey? Your stripes? Thanks, VB. You get the random ones, don't you? So I wanted to talk, if you've got your Bible there, I want to talk to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. If you've got your Bible there, I'd love to hear the rustling pages or the tap on your iPad. And I want to talk about being competent ministers of the gospel. What is it to be a competent minister? What does it mean to stand out here or to play music or to be a prayer or to serve in the kitchen or whatever, or do a craft group or run a home group or whatever it is? What does it mean to be competent? And the word competent means having the necessary ability, knowledge, skill to do something successfully. That's what competent means. And in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, it says, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Here we can see there's a clue already. What are we ministers of? Are we ministers of an old covenant or a new covenant? New. Are we ministers of ourself or of the Spirit? Of the Spirit. And so we see through these couple of chapters here, Paul writing in Corinthians, covenantal talk. It's covenant talk. Like we see here in, just go back to chapter 2, and you'll see here 2 verse 14. It says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. Here we see covenantal talk. The fragrance of death or the fragrance of life. Your ministry should be the fragrance of life. If it's the if it's just you, it's going to be the fragrance of death. And you really need to... I only bought one other little prop just as I was putting on my stuff. The fragrance of heaven right now. Hopefully you're ministering the fragrance of heaven. Can you smell the aroma? It's beautiful. I just can't help myself. We as competent ministers of the gospel are to produce life. We are to stir ourselves up, know who we are in Christ, know what our ministry is, and do it with all the passion in the world. Then we'll see. So I want to just talk about the difference also between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. I'm not going to get into great big detail, so just don't panic there. Because I don't like all the teaching stuff at times, but I love just keeping things just simple. Who loves simple? Well, you've got simple today. Just say, that bloke out there, he's simple. So I just want to keep going here with 2 Corinthians 3 and moving on from verse 6 into verse 7. And it goes on, it says, now if the ministry that brought death, who we know that's talking about the Old Covenant, which was engraved in letters on stone, so we can see covenantal talk, it's Old Covenant talk, came with a glory. Who knows, it was a complete system. The Old Covenant was a complete system, but it had to be complete obedience at the same time. It had a glory. It still sort of has a glory because God's glorious. But the new covenant that we're in supersedes, smashes, annihilates, completely changes that old system and now brings us into the Spirit. It's, again, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. And so here we keep going, so that the Israelites could not steadily look at the face of Moses because of its glory. Who knows, that's pretty bright. Fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Hallelujah! That's you and me. That we are ministers of life, of the Spirit. And I want to get down to just a couple of little nitty-gritty things in a second. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? This is our message. It's our message of righteousness. It's our message of the Spirit. It's our message of life and life changing. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if that was fading away, came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Who knows that the new covenant is an everlasting covenant? It goes on and on and on forever and ever and ever. The old covenant was coming to an end and came to an end. And it was superseded by the new one. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Who's very bold this morning? We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face and to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. I love that. Only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And then it goes on a common scripture we read, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty and freedom. I love that whole thing. That, you know, the New Testament is an amazing canon of scripture, if you will, of a transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. And a lot of what Jesus is dealing with in here in the New Testament is to do with covenant change. I don't think the disciples got it till the very end, when Jesus held up the cup and Jesus used for the first time the words new covenant. He didn't mention new covenant to any of them, I don't believe. It's not, certainly not in scripture. But at the Last Supper, he holds up the cup in Matthew 26, 28, and he says, this is the cup, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is my blood is shed for you and for many. And we did communion this morning. And there's this whole picture, and there's this amazing little part. If I was to sum up the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, the old covenant was all about blessings and curses. Deuteronomy 28. If you look in Deuteronomy 28, you'll see there's all of these blessings. If I do such and such, such and such, such and such, I'll be blessed. And then I think after that's 1 to 15, and then after that there's a whole stack of curses. So if I do something bad, well, then I'm going to be cursed. If you read it all, it's like pretty heavy. But Jesus comes along and says, and takes away the curse. Galatians 3:13, he said, any man who hangs on a tree will be cursed. And God takes away the curse. And now he gives you blessing. If heaven gave you an ATM card, who'd like a heavenly ATM card? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? And you swiped it at the ESBB, the Every Spiritual Blessing Bank, it goes up every single time. So I haven't got my wallet. I never bring my wallet to church. But, sorry, Steve. It's in the car. And I do give. I'm giving now. If you were given a heavenly ATM card and you were able to go up to the ESBB, the Every Spiritual Blessing in Christ, Ephesians 2, or 1, or somewhere in there, and you put it in and you checked your account balance, it goes up every single time. Wow! Who knows, when you put your card in there, most of you, it's going down. Yeah? But this heavenly card of blessing, so I'm talking about getting a revelation of the blessing that you have. You don't have to get any more. You just have to get a revelation of how much you've actually got. And so as a revelation comes, you know, when it says glory to glory, it's from a glory old covenant to a glorious new covenant. What a great revelation. It's an amazing revelation, moving from the old into the new. And we have to somehow get a revelation that God is not holding back on us. He's done everything he possibly can. He's not going to get back on the cross again. He's not going to do that. He's done it once and for all. And we now need to get into a revelation of how much we actually do have. And hopefully something is stirring in you today that a colour produces in you today, and we start to stir things up. Every time we minister God's glory. Every time Jesus ministered, it was just a little bit of the veil being taken away and like a peeling back of the flesh, and we see glory. That's what's happening for us. Every time we minister a little bit of God and his glory and light. That's our job. The kingdom's here. Do we see darkness? Yes, we do. But we are light. We are salt and light. And we are called to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God and expand the kingdom of God, push back darkness. That's why we're here. That's why I want to encourage you to find out what color you are, find out your gifts and abilities, start to get excited about God. So I was saying that the old covenant was full of curses and blessings. It was sum it up, old covenant, blessings, curses, performance based. So it was all about performance. If I do this, I'll get that. If I do something bad, I'll be cursed. If I do something good, I'll be blessed. You know, it says you'll be blessed coming in and blessed going out. In the new covenant, you're blessed anyway. If you come in or you don't come in. Hopefully you do come in. And things are of the spirit and not of the flesh anymore. The new covenant, if we were to sum up the new covenant, Jesus says it when I said that he held up the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood of the new covenant of what? Forgiveness. If I was to sum up the new covenant into one word, it would be forgiveness. God forgave sin. He totally set you free from sin. No longer a performance-based, but now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? The other aspect of this is love. The whole gospel is about love. It is all about love. Paul talks about it extensively. I don't know about you, but I want to be a competent minister of the gospel. I want to be one that is able to, who has the ability to, who has worked hard to do that. We have all different abilities in things. Like, I'm a builder by trade, and I would call myself a competent builder. I know how to build. I know how to build this, and I know how to build that. I know this comes before that, etc., etc., and produce a good product. It'd be like a good painter, Steve. A good painter knows how to prepare the walls and how to put paint on the roller. And I'm only having a go at him because it's an inside running joke about him painting the bathroom in there, which is actually an amazing job. He has really done a great job. And that is not sarcasm. So these two things, which is really powerful, forgiveness and love. Now, if we look in John chapter 15 and verse 12, we'll pick up on something here, because it's just easy to say, oh, love, isn't it? You know, oh, just love your brother, you know, love your sister. But look at Jesus' words here, and This really only became a revelation to me a year or so ago, I suppose, something like that. John chapter 15 and verse 12. You know how you can just read scripture and gloss over it and go, oh yeah, that's good. But then all of a sudden you read the same scripture 12 months later and you go, what? How come I missed that? And it's really simple sometimes. Jesus speaking, John 15, 12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. How come I never saw that? Love each other. Okay, cool. As I have loved you. As Jesus has loved. So as Jesus taught the disciples how to love, Jesus is saying now, love the same way I have loved people. That changes everything. Because if I love out of my own ability, it's going to fall short. Because I put different levels on it. I could be hurt with someone. Someone could have offended me. It's more like me offending someone else. And there could be a barrier. So love is deficient. It's not full. But with Christ's love, with Jesus' love, you can love me and I can love you. And by this, the world will know that you are my disciples. And I think half the problem, maybe the whole problem with church, not just this church, because it's in every church, is that we don't love each other like Christ loved each other. So if you imagine Jesus being here right now, loving the way Jesus would, that changes everything. I don't know what that does for you, but I sort of can't move past that for a little while until that sort of... You might have already... who knows? Or who already knew that? Great. We're always learning. And to love as Jesus loved. And then Jesus goes on, no greater love than this, that someone would lay down their life for another brother. It's Jesus talking about himself going to the cross. It's powerful. So to be a competent minister of the gospel, of the new covenant, would be a competent minister of forgiveness, because Jesus did the ultimate forgiveness on the cross in pain. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I mean, that's the ultimate forgiveness. So if we could operate in a spirit of forgiveness and a spirit of love as Christ loved the church, it would change everything. Everything would change. Romans 13:10 says that love is the fulfillment of the law. All of a sudden, the transition from the old to the new had taken place. Jesus brought forgiveness and love. The old covenant was just blessings and curses and performance-based stuff. And now we are ruling and reigning in heaven from a heavenly perspective. It's the whole picture of Christ as victor. I don't know whether you've heard Christ as victor, meaning not Christ in victor, but Christ as victor, meaning that you have been crucified with Christ. That's Galatians 2:20. That you've been buried with Christ. That you died with Christ, that you were buried with Christ, and that you were raised with Christ, and now you are seated in heavenly places with Christ. And now you rule and reign from a heavenly perspective, not from an earthly one. You're actually sitting right next to Jesus on the Ark of the New Covenant in heaven. What a powerful position. And now you and I rule now from that position of authority. Hey, Jesus, what are we doing today? Hey, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? Hey, you know these circumstances, right? He's right there. You're sitting right with him in those heavenly places right now by faith. See, by faith you are crucified with Christ. It's no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in you. I now live by faith. That's what Galatians 2:20 says. And then I go through this process. It's like baptism in a sense, a symbolism of baptism, that I go through crucifixion. I was crucified with Christ. I was buried with Christ. I was I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. This is all the book of Romans. If you, Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 and 6 talks about this. And now that we are now seated and ruling and reigning with Jesus in heaven, in heavenly realms. What a powerful position. So to be in a, just getting back to being a competent minister of the gospel. I want to be a competent minister of the gospel in everything that I do. I want to forgive like Jesus forgave. I want to love like Jesus loved. And I want to be in the Spirit. And I want to have the aroma of Christ in everything that I do. Wherever I am, let there be the aroma, life-giving, everywhere I am, Christ in everything that I do and say. In your craft group, in the things, in your autism thing, Rosa, and the various ministries that we do, we are His glory shining all the time. Every time we do something, every time we love someone, His glory shines. Every time we stretch out of ourselves, His glory shines. Every time we do that, we stir and we find out what colour we are. It's our job to find out what colour we are. It's not God's. He's already placed it in you. You've got to find it. And it's time that we found it. Essentially, that's all I want to say today. But we are ruling from a place of victory, not of a place of, like, I don't know, defeat. It's a place of victory. That's where we rule from. I just want to finish with a prayer in Hebrews 13, verse 20. You've all gone quiet out there. Minister's nightmare. That's if you're operating in the flesh. Hebrews 13, verse 20. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, this is the new covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, I just thank You, God, for this church, these people. Lord, for a stirring up in the Spirit. Lord, if there's anything I've said today, and that we make a step towards You and towards Your love and towards Your forgiveness, even if it's just an increment, even if it's just a tiny millimetre, or if it's a big giant step, I would suggest a stirring of faith like Jesus was stirring faith in the cripple for 38 years. That there would be a stirring in your hearts today, not by might or anything that I've said today, but by of Your Spirit, everything of Your Spirit and of Your glory, as we step out of ourselves and push ourselves further than we ever have before. So God, I thank You for this church. I thank You, God, that we are a blessed church, that the ESBB bank is full and going up, that the every spiritual blessings in Christ, in this church, the account goes up. And I speak to the finances of this church right now, and I declare and I decree that this place will be successful, and that it is blessed, and that, God, we will see great and mighty things in this place. That signs and wonders and miracles. It's not your miracle is not about thinking, but it's about drinking. Father, I pray for the presence of God to envelop this place. That God, that we would see people saved and set free. That God, we would see great miracles, signs and wonders. Lord, I thank You, God, for every person here. they are blessed, and your bank's going up. In Jesus' name, amen. Yep.
Just want to add on to Anthony's prayer there. That little illustration he did with the colour was brilliant. But you don't let those sorts of things go by without responding to them. So if you wouldn't mind just standing, I'm going to pray for you. There are people who God has put gifts into. And you know, the gifts that God gives us are, the Bible says, without repentance, which means he doesn't take them back. And when Anthony started preaching this morning and started to say that God wants us to stir the gift inside of us, I just felt that, you know, there's some people here that have gifts that aren't using them, that have retired. You know, my season is over. You hear that a lot in church. My season is over. Now you've got to hear God this morning saying your season isn't over. Your color's the same. Still shines as bright and as clear and as fresh as if Anthony painted that wall with that color. And I think God wants to release again gifts inside of us, but we've got to do the stirring. Maybe you worked with children. Maybe you worked, ran a home group. Maybe you visited people. Maybe you preached. Whatever you did, God wants to stir that pot this morning. Yeah, wants true. You to pick that brush up and begin to paint again in his church. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. We thank you that it was a word in season. We thank you that it was a powerful word. And we respond as your people, the gifts you've put inside of us, where that paint has settled down, where that color has settled down, we ask you this morning to help us stir again that gift. Lord, where we've said we're going to retire, where we're not, our season is over, we are stirring, Lord. Stir that gift again. Lord, we want to release in this church preachers, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, Lord, home group leaders, children's church workers, people with works of service, every gift that God has given to this church, we want them released again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Ant. That was brilliant. Brilliant contributions this morning. Loved your communion, Tom. Love worship. Great day.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. If you would like more information about our church, visit centrallife.com.au.